We turn this morning in our scripture reading to Mark chapter 1 once more. As we finish the chapter, we've been studying in these last weeks, reading the account of this leper beginning at verse 40. Jesus is here in Galilee, in his Galilean ministry. And Mark 1 verse 40, we read, "And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straitly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter." Thus far. Beloved congregation, in his gospel thus far, Mark has shown us several times already, and in different ways, that the man Jesus is the Son of God. He has overcome the temptation of Satan in the wilderness. Before that, at his baptism, there was this Trinitarian display of divinity around him as the Father speaks and the Spirit comes down as a dove. He has cast out not one demon, but many. He has healed that serious fever which we saw yesterday, as well as many other sicknesses and afflictions. But now at the end of chapter 1, Mark wants to show us one more account. As if all of that wasn't enough, he wants to zoom right in on one particular man. As Christ is traveling about, he's preaching the gospel, he encounters one who has a serious disease, leprosy. It's a disease that nobody could cure except God. What will happen? Will this tricky, uncurable condition be too much for the Lord Jesus? No, he will cleanse this man. And in this story are several lessons that we can learn, also in connection to Thanksgiving. Reasons for true thanksgiving to God. Let us consider this morning then, Thanksgiving lessons from a leper's cleansing. Thanksgiving lessons from a leper's cleansing. First, the cleansing, and in second, we'll see the lessons. First, the cleansing. You'll know that leprosy was quite common in the days of our Lord Jesus. Leprosy is a disease that attacks the nerve endings in the outer extremities of the body. It begins in the fingers, in the toes, the nose, the ear. The person who has leprosy slowly begins to lose feeling in these parts of their body. And eventually, due to loss of blood circulation, these parts of the body decay and they begin to fall off, and all of these white sores appear on the person's body. Oozing sores. The person who has leprosy literally rots away. It's a horrendous disease. Decomposing flesh and the foul smell that accompanies that. We know from biblical history that lepers had to be separated from all of society and their family because of their uncleanness. And throughout the land of Israel in these days, as you walked around the countryside, you could from time to time hear a croaking voice crying out in this mournful call, unclean, unclean. It was the height of despair, a picture of ruin. Nobody wanted leprosy. Everyone dreaded leprosy. It was the disease of death, called living death. It was the beginning of your end. It was a nightmare of children. It was the fear of every adult. Now a man like this, a leper, Luke tells us, Luke the physician, that he was full of leprosy. He comes and he approaches Jesus. There came a leper. It's remarkable. We don't read that he cried out, unclean. We don't read that he tried to hide himself in any way or cover himself up or clean himself a little. No, he just came just as he was. He had heard of Jesus and he wanted to be cleansed. But that wasn't the only thing. He wanted to worship Jesus. We read that he came beseeching him and kneeling down to him. Verse 40. He had seen that Jesus Christ is something far more than just a remarkable teacher, which is what the people in the synagogues were thinking. He had seen this man is the Messiah. He's God. He's the one that for centuries we've been waiting for. He has faith. There's faith in this worship congregation. He honors Christ. As he falls on his face before our Lord, listen to what he says. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He's fully convinced that there's power with Jesus as God to cleanse him. No doubt there. What faith he has that Christ is able to heal him. And yet he has, doesn't he, this nagging doubt. This doubt concerning himself. The appropriation of the work of the willingness of Christ to himself was his stumbling block. He couldn't see past his own sins and his own unworthiness, and he would readily understand why Christ would say, no, I'm sorry, not you, because you are just too filthy. Oh, he felt so worthless, so unacceptable. And yet, isn't it beautiful that he surrenders himself not to his own judgment, but to Christ's verdict? He does not, for all his doubts, stay back, does he? He comes, saying with Esther, if I perish, I perish. If they stone me, so be it. But I cannot stay away from this one, who in my eyes has become altogether lovely. We're not at the lessons yet, but let me give you one spiritual lesson. If you haven't already been thinking it, what a beautiful picture. You may be doubting. You may just think, my case is just too much. Look at this leper. How does Jesus react to him? We read that Jesus was moved with compassion. And he put forth his hand and he touched him. Immediately, Christ, he stretches out his hand and he makes physical contact with this man. And to us, that might not seem like such a big deal at first thought. A pat on the back, a handshake is common enough. But think about it. This man was full of leprosy. He'd been leprous for many years. He hadn't been touched by a loving human hand for maybe years, maybe decades. And now the Savior touches him. Christ knows exactly what he needs. this touch preaches care and compassion and reassurance for this faltering man. Maybe the boys and girls are thinking, would Jesus not become unclean if he touched an unclean leper? It's true that any Jew who touched an unclean leper would himself be unclean. But not Jesus. Jesus doesn't contract leprosy or become unclean when he touches this man, but the opposite happens. Jesus touching him cleanses him. Christ is more powerful than this disease, this leprous uncleanliness. His word is, I will, be thou clean. And then the miracle happens. As soon as he had spoken, Mark says, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. It was an amazing miracle as this man, so filthy and unclean and ugly and detestable. We would have turned away in disgust if you'd have seen this man. He, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, becomes clean and pure. He's got smooth skin. And everybody can see it. Just imagine the feelings of joy and thanksgiving this man would have felt. The relief as he sees his entire body perfectly whole again. He feels the ends of his fingers, which he hadn't felt in so long. He feels his toes again. He's not hobbling along, trying to keep his balance as he had to do all these years. Our toes are so important for balance. He feels it all back again. He's cleansed of his horrendous disease. It's a great miracle. Christ's touch and word cleansed him. But then Mark, moving in characteristic speedy fashion, moves on. He tells us in verse 43 that Jesus straightly charged him and forthwith sent him away. Jesus tells him to keep this matter quiet. Don't tell anybody about this. But go to the priest and go make an offering according to the law of Moses for your cleansing. What does this man do? Mark tells us that he went out. And he began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter. He did the opposite. He didn't stay quiet. He didn't listen. He actually failed. He disobeyed. And in doing so, he hindered Christ's work. We read that because of this, because he did this, Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places. He had to stay outside the city in the hills, in the wilderness, because of this. That's the story of the cleansing. Now let's consider some lessons from this story, especially in light of thanksgiving. And the first thanksgiving lesson is that this leper is a picture of you and me by nature. You might say, well, that's hardly reason for thanksgiving. That may not seem like it, but it is, you know. Because what that tells us is that the Word of God is honest with you. It tells you the truth. The Word of God is straight with us, congregation. The Lord doesn't play games with us or hide the truth from us. No. He says to the prophet, tell this people their sin. This leper is a picture of that. And how thankful we should be that God is honest with us in His Word, that He doesn't hoodwink us or dupe us or lead us to believe something that is false. We have a truthful, honest God. Let us bless the Lord that every word of God is pure. Leprosy in the Bible is a picture of sin, our sin. We find in Isaiah 1, where Isaiah is prophesying to the sinful nation of Israel, that he says to them, the whole head is sick, and the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds, and bruises, and putrefying sores. He's taking up the picture of leprosy and applying it to sin. So you and I are just like this diseased man, congregation. We're a stench, a foul stench in God's nostrils by nature. We've not become separated from family and friends, but our sin has separated us from God. The Lord says in the prophets to his people, your sins have separated between you and your God. What sins? What does that look like in your life? Some of you may be living in sexual sins. You allow yourself to look at things that you know you should not. You have, as Peter says, eyes full of adultery. You chase after things that are harmful. Proverbs tells us over and over the danger of these kinds of sins. There's the leprous rot of sin in so many in our day, ruining marriages, destroying young peoples and even children these days, purity and ability to a faithful, God-honoring marriage later. How it can affect and infect and destroy. Some of you may be allowing the poison drip of this world's music to infiltrate your soul. You think you can listen to it and not be affected by it. But it infects you. It's not passive. It's not harmless. It has an effect on you. It influences your soul. The lyrics are vain, but often more than that. They can be defiant and rebellious and laced with themes like sex and drugs and immoral living, violence. The lyrics, if they're not that bad, they often reflect, don't they, the musician's own ways of dealing with problems in life. They reflect the musician's own musings on finding meaning in life, which are not scriptural. All of it dripping confusion and poison into your soul, carried into your heart by the vehicle of a catchy tune. And this is especially so potent when you're young, children, boys and girls, young people. When you're young, and parents too, take note of this, when your children and your young people are young, that's when they're still being formed and molded and shaped into the man or woman that they will be one day. And every and any influence that can get into their souls will have an influence. What does Paul say? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And so it is sin. And we know to do good and do it not. Instead, choosing the world's music. Some of you may have leprosy in your life through stealing. Maybe you're just prone to laziness and not really doing too much if you don't have to. God has given you gifts and talents. Are you using them? Or are you squandering your time? Maybe your business practices betray your greedy heart. And you ignore or you set aside God's laws in order to get more gain. Maybe some of you have been cheating on your taxes blatantly while God says, render unto Caesar. Maybe you're stealing time from your employer, or Maybe you're shortchanging your employees. Husbands, fathers, mothers, wives. What about you? How are you? Are you failing to live up to your callings? Fathers. God takes it very seriously when we don't take leadership in our households. Are you always gone? Does your wife have to sigh in frustration sometimes because dad's never around? Never time to take the children on your knee and speak with them? Is there never time to give your wife a break, a Sabbath? Is there never talking with her, caring for the needs, not only of her body and mind, but also her never-dying soul? As you promised you would, husband, is this your sin? Or is your sin, wife, ruling over your husband, blocking his will, calling the shots? God hasn't put you there. He hasn't put that responsibility on your shoulders. It's not for you to take. You can help your husband. You can advise him. Be of a great help to him. But don't veto him with a high hand. Don't defeat his will. Is that your sin? Are you living in hatred or envy against your neighbor? Maybe there's a long-standing grudge between you and another person that you allow. Do you even take a tiny bit of satisfaction secretly in its existence, always reminding yourself, there's a reason why I can't stand her? Him. Beloved, that's sin. Are you clothed with that leprosy? Does that rotting soul flesh exist inside of you? Are you impatient, short-tempered, soon angry with your children or others? Is there a selfish, don't ever bother me air about you? Insensitive, impatient to the needs of children, siblings, and others. You physically or emotionally hurt others at school or around the church. Children, do you tell your brothers and sisters or friends, you're not playing? Is that your sin? If someone could follow you around all week and write down every word that leaves your lips and post it on the bulletin board on Sunday, would you come to church? What would they conclude by Saturday night? Just one big stamp over that piece of paper. Leper. A filthy-tongued spiritual leper who says he knows grace, but his words deny it. Beloved, we are so blind to our own sin. You know, at a crime scene, someone gets killed, they throw a cloth over it, a sheet, over the body. You can't see it. In our minds, that's what we do. We toss a body sheet over our sin, and it all looks nice on from the outside. We justify it. We don't want to confess it. We don't want to look at it. Well, this leper was ahead of you in this department, if that's you. At least he understood the severity of his case. He didn't try to hide it or minimize it. What about you? Maybe you say, well, I can't help it. You know, we want to do anything but admit that we're a wretched sinner in need of saving grace. Millions are far worse off than this leper, because they carry around a body sheet to cover their sin in their own eyes. Beloved, how will you ever value God's great gift unless you throw that sheet away and come just as you are, like this leper? Let us be thankful that the Lord points out our sin. And let us be thankful also in our second lesson this morning of the beautiful picture this man is of coming to Jesus just as you are. He doesn't carry a body sheet, not even spiritually or mentally. All unprotected. Lo, he stands, as we've just sung. No friendly guardian at his hand. No place of flight or refuge near, and none to whom his soul is dear. Except one. Oh, he doubted even that, didn't he? He had these doubts, this nagging doubt, that Christ would say, sorry, not you. And yet he came, just as he was. And Jesus received him. And Jesus will receive you too if you come to him with all your filthy rags of sin, throwing away all your excuses and admitting, confessing your sin. Coming to him for covering, not just some covering outwardly. Yes, his blood covers our sin in the sight of God. But like this leper's leprosy, it cleanses our sin. It washes us thoroughly from our iniquity and cleanses us from our sin. This man wasn't merely sent away with a nice new pack of clothes, carefully designed to hide his leprosy. He was sent off cleansed. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within me, and God will do it. He'll do it. It's his promise. He promises to do it. There's no buts, ands, or ifs connected to that. He promises. He will pardon all those sins away. We can so often focus on thanksgiving for the physical things we receive, for the crops, for the prosperity we enjoy, the things we receive, we should be thankful. But here, beloved, is the pinnacle of thanksgiving. Durable, everlasting, the gift of cleansing from sin. The gift of a welcoming Christ. This man receives sinners and eats with them. He doesn't spurn them or turn them away. He says, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out, in no wise. No matter how great your sins are, no matter what you've all done in your body, with your eyes and with your ears, with your mouth, with your hands, with your feet, with your mind, with your soul, you might be as filthy and as black as night. Remember that hymn? It has that thief on the cross in view, and it says, and there may I, though foul as he, that fountain, be washed. The Lord will never say, you are too filthy. He will never say, sorry, not you. Now you hear on this Thanksgiving Day, you struggle to appropriate the redemptive work of Christ to your own case. Is that nagging doubt in your heart? Others, yes. I can see others, but me, that may be too much. Oh, look again at this leper and see a filthy mess of dragging and dripping flesh and oozing ulcers, a repulsive sight, and see your picture and take courage that as Christ cleansed this man, so he's so willing to cleanse you. And remember that that doubt doesn't honor him. Though he will not spurn you for it. This man's a great reason for thanksgiving, because he's a picture of how we're to come to Christ. Lesson number 3 is the great compassion of the Lord. You know, we might know the truth of our sin. We might know ourselves to be filthy as a leper. We might we might come to Christ just as we are. But it wouldn't do us any good without his compassion. And it's remarkable that he doesn't cleanse coldly. The Lord is deeply affected by the plight of sons and daughters fallen in Adam. He's not robotic in his redemption. He's not like one who has no personal concern or interest in the one he treats. Some doctors can be like that. You go there, you feel like a number. Next. Here's your prescription, here's your problem, next. Some doctors, aren't they? They're so caring. They take time to listen to you and they want to understand what questions you have. Well, Christ is far greater even than them. We read he's moved with compassion. He's intimately interested. He's moved with compassion not only for this leper, but for all unclean sinners who flee to him for mercy. And it's out of his compassionate heart that he cleanses and that he works. The sympathy of Christ is a wonderful truth. We have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. But he was in all points tempted like as we are. And here again we see Mark showing us the manhood of Christ, the connection he has to his people. He was made like unto his brethren in all things. He can relate to you. He underwent the sorrows of death. They compassed him in Gethsemane and Golgotha, as he gave his own life on the cross. He's moved, beloved, with compassion. He's intimately interested because his own life is intimately wrapped up with this work. He's moved with compassion because he went on the cross, where he took that uncleanness on himself, or he bore it away. He's moved with compassion because he sees the object of his redemptive work is, yes, the glory of God, but the salvation of sinners made in the image of God. And I look at that, we mentioned it yesterday, where he saw the rich young ruler and Jesus beholding him, loved him. It's so beautiful. Hundreds have been driven to the Lord by the afflicting rod of the law. But is it not true that thousands have been drawn to him by the wooing compassion and love? Yes, even those who are afflicted heavily by the law, they see that compassion and that love, don't they? That there's in him care like no one ever cared. Compassion. What a wonder that we have a Savior who looks on you, dear one, with tender care. Jehovah looketh down from his place on high on his creatures with tender, kindly eye. Genuine concern with amazing compassion. Well, there's none like Christ. Go home this day thankful for this. But go home this day casting yourself upon this. Go home, smite upon your breast and say, oh, forgive it, Lord, that I've not seen it clearer. That I've not appreciated it more. Thou art a God of compassion. And go home this Thanksgiving Day, singing with grateful heart, my thanks I bring before the great. My thanks I bring. Amen.